The Christianity is so much more than just attending church. It's so much more than just, you know, giving a tithe or giving a percentage of your money or even winning souls. And I think all of these are important. I'm not begrudging any of these things or downplaying any of these things. I'm just saying that is that how we measure our spirituality? Looking at the Bible, there's a lot in the Bible, of course, but there seems to be a theme in the Bible about service. The Lord was a servant of servants. He humbled himself and became a servant. And what I've noticed in my life, and you're probably going to notice in your life, is that is a very difficult task.
Amen.
This very basic premise of Jesus telling us, take up your cross and follow me, that's a great slogan, but applying it to our lives, we encounter difficulties. Because it implies that we have to deny ourselves. And if there's one thing I don't like, and I'm sure you don't like it either, is denying yourself.
Amen.
And that is illustrated by the first time you got ice cream in a freezer, what are you going to do? You know you should say no. You know you shouldn't do it, but you go ahead and do it anyway and you get you some ice cream. Or donuts, or cupcakes, or, God forbid, beer, alcohol, whatever. It becomes very difficult to deny ourselves. Would you agree? It's one of the greatest, one of a number of challenges in our Christian lives is to say no to self. Here in this chapter, in this portion, the Apostle Peter says, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And I can hear the younger objecting. Why should I submit to him? Who does he think he is? You ever heard those frames? We strenuously object to the demand for submission. If you ask me kindly and you beseech me, and if I am so inclined, I will therefore submit. But I don't think that's what it's talking about when he says, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Being submissive, and I wrote these definitions down. You can thank Mr. Webster and you can thank the Oxford English Dictionary, the big one, for these definitions. Submit, to give over to or yield to the power or authority of another. It's implied you do that willingly, and I think that is the intent in Scripture. Obviously, I mean, God could actually force you to do something, or you could be forced to submit, but I don't think that's the intent. God is saying, look, I want you willingly to yield yourself to my will. Or I want you willingly to yield yourself to those that have authority. And that willingly becomes a problem, doesn't it?
Amen.
It's like the kids say, well, if I have to, I'll do it. Yeah. And we become spiritual children, don't you? We become babes in Christ. Well, if I have to, I guess I'll go to church. If I have to, I'll read the Bible. If I have to, I'll give to the missionaries. If I have to, yeah. But I don't think that was God's intent. I think God's intent is not only for us to submit, but to submit willingly and with a good attitude.
Amen.
Are you agreeing?
Amen.
Maybe you guys are, maybe you all are spiritual giants and you've already figured this out. For me, it's like, I've been saved for a long, long time and it's still a battle.
Amen.
What's going on here? Submit, to place oneself in a position of submission or compliance. To become subject or surrender oneself or yield to a person, his or her government, rule, will, etc. Why do I have to submit to his or her will? Why isn't my will greater than their will? Have you ever asked yourself these questions? Because this is what I'm going to talk about this morning about submission. Have you ever heard this phrase? Who died and made you boss? Yeah, because they want you to do something, and there is that tendency in our, we're all, I don't want to offend you, but we're all rebels at heart. We don't want to submit. We're Americans. We were born in rebellion. Remember the 4th of July? Yeah. We were born in rebellion. We rebelled against the king. We didn't like his taxes, so we pitched the tea in the river. We didn't like what he was doing, so we rebelled. We were born in that, and we all have that tendency. We all have that nature. So I want to ask you some practical questions. First of all, he says, submit yourselves unto the elder. Is that beyond reason? Is it unreasonable that God would expect us as Christians, as members of a congregation, to yield or to submit to the will of the elders? Is God putting great demands on us that we were unable to accomplish these things, or is this a reasonable demand that God would have us? I would say it's reasonable. Look over in Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to read two verses in this chapter, verse 7 and 17. It says, remember them which have rule over you. And we don't like that part, over us. Rule with us, maybe. Yeah. But not over. Remember them that have rule over you and do what? Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And so, bringing this message, I want something that's going to actually profit you. It's going to be a benefit for your well-being and your state in the kingdom of God. And he's saying to us, as believers, of those that have been saved by the grace of God, that Christ came into the world to save sinners like you and I. He died on the cross and rose again the third day. We called upon his name. He saved us. Amen. And we're saying, I will follow you. And we've taken up our cross. And now he's saying, I want you to submit to your elders. Yeah. It seems reasonable to me. But what happens is, you or I, for whatever reason, we get discouraged. And when the elder or the ruler of the church calls you, or comes by to visit you and gives you some recommendation, for example, I don't think you ought to have that man in your home. He's not your husband. I think you need to split that up. There becomes an objection and a rebellion. Or, for example, I think you ought to be at church on Sundays. Well, who are you to tell me where I need to be on Sundays? At one point in our Christian lives, those types of comments seemed reasonable.
Right.
But because of discouragement, because of sin, because of the devil, or whatever, I don't know exactly how to pinpoint all the influences, but I've seen it over and over again. I think if we ask Brother Lindell, he's probably seen it a million more times than I have. Is there comes a place in our Christian lives when we say, no, I am not going to do what that elder suggested, or that what that, I am not going to yield to his authority or to his will. I'm going to follow my own will. It's a thought. Verse 17, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account that they, did I just read that verse? I'm sorry, I wanted to read verse 7. Remember them that have the rule over you and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So, elders got into that position because they were examples. We went over some of the criteria. They have to be, among other things, an example to the community, and more importantly, an example to you, and by that, They proved their authority. They proved their worthiness of the office. And they were recognized and appointed to that office, and now they have a responsibility over you, yes, I did say, over you, to try to guide you and direct you, and make decisions that are sometimes not clearly split, not clearly stated in the Scriptures. It doesn't say explicitly in the Scriptures that you ought to come to church every Sunday. But that's an advice every elder I've ever met would say, I think you ought to come to church every Sunday. Amen. That's just good practical advice. It doesn't say, the Bible doesn't explicitly say how to handle every situation. In those situations, somebody has to make a decision. Obviously, practically speaking, God would put elders into the congregation that are overseeing the flock, and by their faithfulness, it is reasonably expected that they would make the right decision in those situations. Now, it's not guaranteed that they would make the right decision. They will be held accountable for their decisions, and you will be held accountable for your reaction to those decisions. And I would think that all of us would want to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ and say, I did what you told me to do. Well, then that's the question. Have I been doing what God told me to do? Because it, really, brethren, these doctrines, we all say amen, amen, glory to God. Yes, that's true. Because we are in a state of, we are in a good state at this particular time. And these doctrines that we're teaching now really are not a problem when you're on the mountain.
Amen.
These doctrines become a problem when you find yourself in the valley.
Amen.
When you find yourself in darkness and cloudiness and discouragement and frustration and anger and things are not going your way. And then you're told something, you're told to do something that you really don't want to do. Amen. And then rebellion forms in our hearts and we rebel. I think I'm telling you the truth. I don't know if I'm speaking to your heart or not, but I noticed some things in the Bible that what God expects us or who God expects us to submit to. Let's look at a few. James chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So it seems to me like there is a competition for authority. A competition for authority over you. A competition to have your will yielded to one or another. The God would say, I want you to yield to me, therefore submit. And then on the other side, there is the enemy, the protagonist of God, who says no, the rebel, the accuser of the brethren, the devil himself, Satan, Beelzebub, Lucifer, who would come and whisper in our ear, why do you have to submit? What's wrong with that tree? There's nothing wrong with that tree. God is not looking out for your benefit. He's not looking out for your welfare. God is being selfish. He's not interested in what you want. Are you really not going to partake of the tree? Been there? There's this competition for, you're going to end up yielding to somebody. You're going to yield to the will of God, or you'll yield to the will of the devil. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Let me ask you, brethren, again, in the light of day, is it reasonable for God to expect us to submit?
Yes.
Especially to Him. Because knowing the character of God, we know that His will is not for our detriment. Come to our class tomorrow night. We are talking about the depravity of man. And it's interesting in the will of God and the will of man. So you ought to come. That was just a commercial break. We'll be back to the broadcasting. You agree in the light of day that it is not unreasonable for God to say, submit to me. And thankfully, we have a God whose character is that all His desire is for our benefit.
Amen.
Even when we cannot explain it, even when He tells us to submit, we don't understand how in the world is this going to work out for me. But God works it out that His will is for our benefit. And what a great God that is. I think the verse is He giveth more grace. So brethren, you would agree with me that it is reasonable for God to say submit. And that you would also agree that we should submit to God even when we don't want to.
Amen.
And that it is indeed a learning process that we all go through, where we start off saying, all right, I really don't want to do this, but I know You have the authority and I know I'm supposed to do this. I'm going to go ahead and do it. And we do it. We don't have a good attitude yet, but we go ahead and do it as if God was dragging us by the ear. He doesn't do that, but He drags us by the ear. He gets us to come. We get the trash out, complaining, dragging, moaning and groaning, but we finally get it out because we know we have to do it because God expects us to submit. That is a step in Christianity when we get to the point we say, I will gladly take out the trash because You've done all things well.
Amen.
Amen.
That would be the goal, right? That would be the optimum thing, that when the Lord says submit, whatever it is, we instantly say, as it says in the scriptures many times, when God commanded men and they arose up and went, that we somehow get over that Peter syndrome. Not so, Lord. I've never eaten any of that. No way. I am not going to rise and kill and eat. No, Lord. Not going to happen. Three times it ain't going to happen. And then finally, Peter does what? Submits. I understand there is that learning curve, that learning process, that battle within ourselves that we have to overcome, that rebellious spirit, and we have to take up the cross and deny ourselves, and finally we get to the place where we submit, and oh, what a revelation. Wow, that was a really good idea, Lord.
Yeah, amen.
That is a really good idea. I'm glad I submitted. Yeah. All right, so God. We would all agree. Do I hear a hearty amen? Yes, we should submit to God.
Amen,
amen. I'm going to submit to God. That is my intent.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Thankfully, I'm only going to talk about the first part. You sisters can thank me later. The church is subject to Christ. Question, is it unreasonable for the church of God or the church of Christ to be subject unto the head of the church, which is Christ Himself? Is that unreasonable? Does He have reasonable expectations of us? What type of expectations would you imagine that God has of us as members of the church of Christ? Well, a lot of practical things, obviously very easy things. We ought to read the scriptures. We ought to be filled with the Word of God. We ought to be so filled with the Word of God that when we come to a meeting, we're able to exhort and encourage the brethren with the Word of God in our hearts. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be able to sing praises to God. These are very elementary things, right, that God expects us of His church. Of course, there would be practical things like giving and attendance and reading the Bible and different things like that. Yes, those are some things. But and going out and preaching the gospel. God would expect us to preach the gospel. Not everybody is going to be an evangelist, but we all need to do the work of evangelists, right? And it's not unreasonable for God to expect us to evangelize. Amen or woe mo me. What? I'm not sure where I'm at now.
Amen.
But what if Christ, who suffered Himself, wants the church to go through suffering? What then? I am willing to be a member of the church as long as it benefits me. Or I'm willing to be an active member of the church as long as the church is submitted to Christ. How about that motto? Because many people are only looking for churches that benefit them and not benefit Christ. I think the objective of finding a church ought to be, does it glorify Christ?
Amen.
Is it honoring the Lord? Is the church in subjection to the will of Christ? And that brings us to that question again. I'm going to repeat this over and over again this morning. Is it unreasonable for Christ to expect us to submit to Him as the head of the church? And the answer is no, and it's not unreasonable. It is a reasonable expectation of Christ that we should submit. What is it? That we should yield to His authority. We should give over to His authority. We should willingly be submissive in subjection to His authority. We surrender ourselves. We yield to Him. We are willing to do whatever He says. Here am I, Lord. Send me. That is the attitude all of us ought to have. Would you agree? It's not an unreasonable expectation of God for us to submit to Him, nor is it an unreasonable expectation of Christ, His Son, for us to submit to Him. So the problem isn't the fact that God demands submission. We understand that when God says submit, that the expectation is that we will yield to Him, whether we like it or not. Agreed?
Yeah.
All right. And it's not unreasonable. How about children obeying their parents because there is subjection? Listen to what the Bible says in that same book of Ephesians chapter 6. Children, they're all gone. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You're looking for the right thing to do. What is the will of God? How about obey your parents? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, he repeats it again. Children, obey your parents in all things. Now, it's granted in all these commands, God would never command us to submit to something that was against His will. Christ would never demand of us to submit to something that was contrary to His word. Right?
Amen.
So God is not demanding that children obey their parents or their parents say, rise up and kill your neighbor. Or go rob a store. Or go sell drugs on the corner. God does not expect children to disobey the obvious will of God in order to obey their parents. Does that make sense? So he says here, it's the right thing to do, and he says, obey your parents in the Lord. I think that implies that as long as your parents are obeying the obvious will of God in the scripture, something that is clear, that you are not to disobey what's clear in the scriptures. So there is, and I'm very cautious about this, so I'm going to take a moment. There is a point of time when a child may say, no, I'm not going to do that. If a parent says, burn the Bible, don't go to church, stop praying, stop doing the will of God, I don't think parents have that authority. But rarely, that does happen, by the way, it does happen. Parents have been known to tell their children, you're not allowed to go to church, you're not allowed to pray, you're not allowed to believe the gospel, you're not allowed to follow Christ, you're going to bow down to this image, you're going to do what we say. Their authority does not supersede the authority of God. Does that make sense? God's authority is supreme, then parents' authority. Are you on track? How do the young people say? Are you tracking me? You got me? All right, so, but that is rare. Now, children saying, I'm not going to take out the trash because that's not in the Bible. That is not a reasonable rebellion. Right? God says, obey them. And it is implied by all the examples that I set when we said we submit to God and we submit to Christ, even when we don't understand, even when we maybe disagree. Peter was commanded to rise, kill, and eat, or slay and eat. He didn't understand it, but he should have submitted. Thankfully, he eventually did. There are things that happen in our lives that we don't understand. Why is it I have to submit? But again, submission is not about being willing to do things that we're already willing to do. Submission is not about giving in or yielding to that which you've already agreed to do. Submission, when it comes to practicality, is when what happens when you disagree, or you don't want to, or you're no longer inclined. What does he say? He says submit. He's saying deny yourself and yield to that person that has authority. And that's the part we don't like. As long as everything's going hunky-dory and everybody's in agreement, yes, we can do that, but we must have an attitude of submission, because if your parents tell you to do something that's not contrary to the Bible, obviously, tell you to do something, then you are expected to submit. Okay, you can say, oh, me. Because this is the part we don't like. Submission is about yielding. It's about surrendering your will. And we inherently don't like that. I don't like that. When my boss tells me something that I disagree with, I don't like it. I don't want to do it. He says, pick up the cigarette butts. I didn't put them there. Well, where in the Bible does it say don't pick up cigarette butts? Does my boss have authority to tell me that? Of course he does. Should I do it? Yes. Should I do it with a good attitude? Yes. Will I do it with a good attitude? Probably not, but I do it. Learning to do it with a good attitude. And I have a personal experience when I learned to do it with a good attitude, the boss no longer expected me to pick up cigarette butts because he didn't like me singing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus the Lord. I'll pick up that cigarette butt. Isn't Jesus Christ good? Boy, they didn't like that. And then I was no longer commanded to pick up cigarette butts. But back to the point, the boss told me to do something, and submission is yielding. Even when I disagreed. Are you tracking?
Yeah. Amen.
So you would agree that parents have the authority to tell their children, submit. Listen, I'm surprised you, I heard an amen there, because there's a lot of parents that don't believe that they have authority. They believe that children have authority. And there's got to be a mutual contract between them. I've seen it play out at a doorway in my home. 45 minutes, a 5-year-old and a 45-year-old talking, and the 45-year-old is trying to negotiate with a 5-year-old. Did you know that children under the age of 18 have no legal standing?
Amen.
Did you know that? 45 minutes. Listen, won't you please come out with me to the car? No. Well, listen, aren't you getting hungry? I'm going to make dinner when we get home. Won't you please go out to 45 minutes? I heard this. Finally, I had enough. I said, pick up the kid, take him out, and make him submit.
Amen.
That's the generation we live in. The Bible tells us that children are submit to their parents. The parents have the authority, not the children.
That's right.
1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, talking about bishops or elders or and deacons even. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Here is a requirement of an elder. One of the requirements is, can you rule your own house?
Right.
If you cannot rule your own house, how are you going to rule multiple houses in the church of God?
Right.
So one of the criteria is, can you rule your own house? Can you get a 5-year-old to submit? If you cannot get a 5-year-old to submit, who weighs, I don't know how much 5-year-olds weigh, 60 pounds, maybe 40? Americans, okay, 60 pounds. 60 pounds. 60 pounds. You can't get a 60 pound, 5-year-old boy to submit. How are you gonna get a 250 pound man to submit?
Right.
Children ought to obey, that is, yield to the will of their parents. If they don't understand it, that's irrelevant. If they disagree, that's irrelevant. They are, by command, to yield to the will of their parents. Now, parents, that puts a tremendous responsibility on you, because you're going to give an account, because God, children are an inheritance of the Lord. The Lord gave you those children, and He has an expectations of you to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So there is an accounting, and your parents, listen, every child, their children aren't here, every child ought to know that their parents also have to submit to the Heavenly Father. Amen. All right, no children here. So we agree that we should submit to God, to Christ, and children ought to submit to the parents. In agreement?
Amen.
All right. How about 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13? We're going to have to pick up the pace here. I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. There is a lot packed in that little portion of Scripture. Every ordinance of God, as if that was the will of God. Remember the first one, you already agreed we are to submit to God. And God said, I want you to submit to ordinances of man. What? You're telling me I've got to slow down in a work zone? I can't go 85 in a work zone? Are you telling me I can't go 45 in a school zone?
Yeah.
How does the saying go? This is where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah. Amen.
That's why I asked the question, how do you rate your spirituality? Yeah? How well do you submit?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying, I'm only using traffic ordinances as a way of example. I think there's things much more important, but I think we can all understand with the ordinances, right? How many of you agree with income taxes? Did you know there are people that rebel against paying income taxes? And then after reading the Bible? Whose image is on that quarter of yours or dollar of yours? Is it the Lord's? Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, I think Jesus said. Did you notice in here that by submitting to the ordinance of man, you're doing the will of God? Did you notice that? Did you notice by implication that you are a servant of God? Do you know what a servant is? Now, I happen to disagree with the modern translations, but I understand where they're coming from. They translate the word servant, slave. Alright, let's use that phrase. You know what a slave is? Somebody that doesn't have their own will. They are in subjection by force to yield. And I don't think that's what God wants. I think God wants you willingly to yield. You come to the place in your Christian life where you say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Isn't that what the Lord said in the garden?
Amen.
I think that's the objective. God wants us to get to the place where he say, Lord, it's not my will that we're concerned about. What is your will? Whatever it is, I'm going to do.
Amen.
And if that means slowing down in a work zone, I will do that, that you might be glorified.
Amen.
Or whatever it is, whatever little things. Titus chapter 3, verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, listen to it, disobedient. In other words, unsubmissive. Rebels. Deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. What does he say? Submit. Be in subject. Be subject to. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. This is throughout the scriptures. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The power, now did you hear that? There's no authority, there's no power that does not come from God. Yeah. All power comes from God. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers. Where do those higher powers get their power? I already gave the answer. From God. For there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained, that be, are ordained of God. Just like an elder is ordained of God. Right? Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject. Did you hear it? Ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, let it be clear that the apostles clearly did not obey the powers when the powers that be commanded, do not preach in the name of Christ. They rightfully disobeyed. Why? Because there's a higher power than the magistrates, and that power is God, and he already commanded us to preach the gospel to every creature. Do you understand that? But our dispute is rarely over those situations. Most of the time, 99.9% of the time, as Americans, our dispute with the magistrates is, we don't want to do it. I am in a hurry. I've got to get there. Who are you to tell me? I've got rights. I'm an American. Did you read that? He said, be in subject to, under the higher powers. Did you hear that?
Amen.
We are rebels. You thought you were spiritual. I thought I was spiritual. Until I realized how unwilling I am to submit. Because we think they're doing us wrong. I don't think it's right that he makes me pick cigarette butts up. I don't think it's right that he didn't, now I'm getting personal, that he didn't evaluate me better. I don't think it's right that they don't give me the leave that I unjustly do. I don't think that's right. I don't think it's right that they laid me off. We become rebels, don't we? We refuse to yield. But what is God's command? Submit. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. How spiritual are you? Are you able to do the will of God by obeying your masters? Let's call this your employer. That wants you to do something that you disagree with. Can you do it with a servant's heart? Can you do it with the right attitude is the question. And we're obviously talking about something that is outside the realm of the scriptures. They're not telling you to do something in contrary to the scriptures. They're telling you something that's really irrelevant. It's just you don't like it. And I don't like it. Isn't it amazing? I wrote this down so I would not forget. Isn't it amazing that management will send people home for inappropriate dress? It's happened in my job. Has it happened in your job? Some girl comes in, the skirt is too high. Management will say, go back and put a longer skirt on. They will come in with the blouse cut too low. Management will say, these are not Christians. Management will say, go home, change your blouse. I wrote quite a few of these down. Cover up your tattoos. Management will say that and has said it. I'm giving you living examples. Cover your tattoos. Put a long sleeve shirt on. Your hair is too long. Your color of your hair is not appropriate. We don't want rings in your nose. Take them off your nose. Take them off your cheeks. You may have them on your ears. Management is saying this. And you know what I saw? People that do not know the Lord, they get in their car, they go home, and they put on a longer skirt, and they put on a longer blouse, and they come back to work. That, to me, is amazing. Because if you approached a Christian at the door and said, your skirt is a little bit too short, I think you ought to go home and put a longer one on it, and maybe your blouse is cut down too low, I think you ought to, you know, cover that up, and I think you ought to cover your tattoos, or I think you ought to get the earring out of your nose. It's an earring, after all. Get it out of your nose. You know what? Who are you to tell me what to do? I got liberty. Am I getting a little bit too close to home? You see, we agreed that we should submit to God. We agreed that we should submit to Christ. We agreed that we should submit to our masters. We agreed that we should submit to our parents. We agreed that God has put people in our lives that have authority over us. We agreed that we should submit to the elders of the church.
Amen.
Now, there's no clear thing in the Bible that says, how long does your skirt have to be? There's nowhere in the Bible that says, how high does your blouse have to be? Nothing in the Bible that says, should you cover up the tattoo or should you not cover up the tattoo? Nothing in the Bible that says anything about where your earring ought to go. Therefore, those decisions have to be made by somebody. Somebody has authority, and that authority, by God's command, you and I should submit to.
Amen.
So in your fit of depression, and your pastor comes by and says, I think you ought to be at church, you are commanded to submit.
Amen.
Now, we don't do this. We don't go around. I know some churches that do. We don't come around on the first of the month and knock on the door and say, hey, do you have your tithe? You have a lot of liberty here by management. But if your pastor stood up and preached that you ought to give, that you ought to not buck up and go home. I'm always preaching about money. Maybe you ought to give. Maybe they're thinking about your soul. Maybe they see something that you ain't seen yet. Maybe God put them in authority for a reason.
Right.
I wish I had. I do have a whole lot of more examples, but we're running out of time. So you should submit to your masters. Look what he says in Luke chapter 17, verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.
Amen.
So it seems like these things that I've spoken about this morning are not great things of God. These are simply our duty. The rightful expectation that God has of us. That we ought to submit. But we don't like that. Okay, ladies. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Did you notice how many times that phrase is used, as unto the Lord? That God is judging your submission to your husband, and when you don't submit, it's as if you're rebelling against God himself. Because God has already said, and you agreed, that we should submit to God, and God has said, wives, submit to your husbands. Now, we may argue and dispute and wonder and ponder and say, well, why is that? Why do wives have to submit to their husband? But it's really irrelevant if God says do it. It becomes our duty. And how's that going for you ladies? Yeah, but he's demanding. I came home from work and he said, fix me supper. I think we have a really example right here in the Bible. It says they were out feeding the cattle and he says, the husband says, sit down here and eat. No, rather make ready and give me something to eat. We got an example right there in the Bible. But what happens to our will? We become rebels in all these cases. It is amazing to me how, my numbers may be off, don't hold me to the numbers. I think 85% of the people on our team is female. Our boss is male. It is amazing, I stand amazed almost every day, the boss says, ladies, I need you to fix a meal because we're going to have a get together on Friday. And you know what those professional women do? They bring a meal. They go home, they cook it or they buy it or whatever, and they bring a meal. And we have the meal, we have our meeting, we have the meal or whatever it is called, you know, we get together. And then the boss says to those ladies, I need you to clean up the break room. And you know what? Those ladies, they get up and they clean up the break room. Not one time in my 5 years at Wells Fargo have I ever heard one of them ladies, those professionals ladies, stand up to that male and say, who are you to tell me what to do? You know what I've seen, observed in 5 years of working at Wells Fargo? Those professional women get up and do exactly what the boss says to do. And you know what's even more amazing? Not a whisper of a complaint. No argumentation about who does he think he is. And yet, when it's in the Bible, and God says, wives, submit to your husbands, oh, what an uproar. Do you find that peculiar? I do. All right. My time's up. Let me just end this. We'll pick this up next week, the rest of it. Let me just end this. Have you ever heard the jingle? Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way. You know where that came from? Burger King. Burger King has a motto that they want to serve you.
Amen.
It says in our time context also, it says, obey your elders, but also be subject one to another.
Amen.
I think what God is saying is, we ought to be careful about our will.
Amen.
It's implicit in that statement that we do have a will. That God is concerned that we be willing to yield, to be in subjection to those that have authority over us, whether that be parent, master, boss, Christ, governor, king, elder, husband, whoever it may be, God has an expectation and has authority to command us to submit.
Amen.
And I would ask, in conclusion this morning, and I thank you for your patience, I would ask you to evaluate your standing in the kingdom. To evaluate your Christianity. Now, there's a lot of controversy about this book by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. I don't agree with some of his liberalism, but the idea behind his book, I thoroughly agree, is too many times that we Christians, we wander about aimlessly. We do not evaluate ourselves to see how we're doing. There needs to be evaluation. At my place of employment, there is an evaluation minimum 2 times a year. There is an evaluation. We have to state out our goals at the beginning of the year and at mid-year and during the year. And then there's an evaluation. How are we doing on fulfilling our goals? So question for you is, how are you doing in this matter of submission, a doctrine that is clearly taught in scriptures? This is not an obscure doctrine. This is not something that's debated over. This is a doctrine that all denominations agree with, that God says, submit.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take a break. You need it probably after that. And then we'll come back in about 5 minutes.
Amen.